to continue this series that I've been doing the last several weeks on understanding relationship. And, of course, I know most people want to know. You do a search on relationship, it all has to do with dating. But, you know, the most important relationships are those that are simply in terms of individuals around us that we love and care about, not just like husbands and wives. You know, the relationship between a parent and a child. And so, do you have the video written? I always think it's important to, there's Nancy over there. Okay. If the kids would like to leave, they can come forward. Did you hear my sermon on wanting to be up probably Sunday morning? Okay. All right, really good. God, first I pray for each one of these kids that you would watch over them, bless them, to keep them well. Pray for the children also in the nursery. But for these five, I pray, God, that this morning they will learn something unique and special in the Shabbat school that would really touch them and cause them to want to live their lives in your way all the days of their lives. I pray this in the show's name. All right, we're going to start, of course, with a quick video about a group of people who know nothing about good relationships. For hands of those who couldn't relate. But you know what? Any relationship is hard. We've talked about it in the last several weeks. A relationship is hard. Just friendships are hard. Because there's this give and take. All relationships are 100%, 100%. That's what they're supposed to be. Not just marriage, but all relationships. If they're going to be meaningful and authentic, they have to be fully committed relationships. Otherwise, I can show you other film clips of books of Seinfeld and all the superficial relationships that they talk about, because it's obviously a show about nothing, right? Except for it gives us these little vignettes that allow us to see ourselves in the dysfunction of life. We're in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. In the sermon that I gave years ago, I did this Hebrews study. And I just love what the author of Hebrews wrote here regarding love. Regarding love. And this is love within community. Love among believers. We've talked about the fact that today a lot of people feel alone. They don't feel love. They don't have a relationship that has much depth to it. And yet, what do the scriptures teach? They teach that we're supposed to be deeply in relationship with one another. There's a tension that exists because we live in a world where we talked a couple weeks ago, people are connected, but they're not connecting. People can reach out and text somebody, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the person on the other end has a deep emotional bond, a big care. You can connect, but are you really connected? God made us relational. God desires to be in relationship with us. chapter 13, we see a couple of texts having to do with just love within community. Because fundamentally, what I desire for us to be is a community that truly loves for one another, truly cares for one another. Goes along with our values. You see that beginning on the bottom of the dock. You know, that this isn't just a place to come and hang out once a week for a couple of hours, but to truly come and connect and be loved so that we can truly be a community before the Lord as God has called us to. So taking a look at the text, Hebrews chapter 13. It says, let brotherly love continue. First verse. Not the shortest verse in the text. That is Jesus' way. Okay, chapter 14. But this, right, this is pretty close. Let brotherly love continue. Why do you think he said that? Is it possible that they were struggling with sharing love among themselves? What is brotherly love? What is brotherly love? This is a quote from Craig Lane in a commentary he wrote. The quality of love, brotherly love, is the quality of love that binds the community together as brothers and sisters within the family of faith. And if you struggle in your relationship with your parents and your siblings, you would not be surprised if you struggle in your relationship with God. God calls us to love Him as our Heavenly Father, and to love one another as our spiritual siblings. And true brotherly love is, what is the quality? What does that look like? How deep is that? How meaningful is that? How much do you actually care about other people? Above yourself. We live in a world of narcissists. All about me. I always say it's a joke, but it's true. Word of 34. It's not you. It's not that you talk about me and my needs. All right? Especially on those Israel trips, you know? It's like, oh, we gotta make this work. It's not because of you, it's because of me. I need it to work for my benefit, okay? But truly, living out love in the community of faith reflects Yeshua's love, doesn't it? It says in the scriptures, Yeshua came to serve and to give his life. Sacrifice. Quality of love that the scriptures a love that is sacrificial. For those who are mothers, they understand that. They understand sacrifice, because mothers, you know, usually bear the brunt of it. Being more balanced now. I see Matthew and Shoshana and the way they do things. It's much better. He changes things, you know. Sacrifice. 1 John chapter 3. We had a great study in 1 John. We've been doing this study in 1 John on Wednesday nights. And Davis has come a couple of times. Boris and Howard and Brian have been there. Take a look. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Says, now this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, and love one another just as he commanded us. Why, it's just so simple. It hasn't been so complicated. The summation of all the Torah is keep God's commandments and love your neighbor as yourself. But love God and love your neighbor. Should be simple, but we know how hard it is. Loving God is not easy. Loving others isn't easy to do. But what does it demand? Both demand sacrifice. Intentional giving of ourselves. Intentionally considering the expectations of the other. In relationship, real relationship demands an understanding that the other individual has expectations. And we are willing to give, sacrifice, to meet those expectations. God wants to be in a relationship with us, but he has his expectations. Humble ourselves with the truly secret of our heart, mind, and soul. Right? Love another person. To genuinely be in a relationship with another person demands sacrifice. Because it doesn't physical and spiritual, to truly get involved in the lives of other people. Again, science guy. They're so great because they have all the illustrations on what not to do, but they're all deeply involved in one another's lives toward dysfunction. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be deeply involved in one another's lives toward the perfection the Messiah would want. It means we have to be willing to truly spend time with one another. Drop it in doesn't do it. We have to truly be engaged relationally with one another outside this building. We have to be willing to speak forth truth in the life of an individual. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Even when other people don't want to hear it. But it all comes out of genuine concern, not out of manipulation and not out of a pettiness, but genuine love and concern. The second point, patient and patience and understanding with the relationship among believers. I think that's the hardest one I struggle with because I really want people to do X, Y, and Z and grow and develop. And it seems like it takes so long. I had an illustration years ago. There was a Jewish guy that became a believer in this show. And this was 20 years ago, 25 years ago. He doesn't live in the area anymore. And I would challenge him to grow and develop. And I would get out of it sometimes. And I used to garden. For those of you who don't know, since I don't even have a garden anymore. All right? I used to garden. And I'd get so frustrated with the plants. And I reckon it was a bean plant. And Carl had gone and planted, I planted these bean plants back then. And they just weren't growing. I just got really upset. It's like, it's been weeks already. You should be really growing. So I walked outside, I took the bean plant, and I picked it up. Because I wanted it to grow. And of course, I killed it at the same time. You know, I think that all of us, when we're in relationships, have to recognize people grow at their own pace. You know, the problem that is often for those of us who are in ministry work is that we want people to grow. And we have to be reminded ourselves how it is we have to let them grow according to God's time. A lot of it is faith. Those of us in ministry, we live lives of faith. All right? But we all need to live lives of faith. But God has called me in a unique way, and maybe he hasn't called somebody else. I have to remember that. But you and I, we probably all have the same situation when it comes to relationships. We want people to do something, and it's easy to lose patience with that relationship. And to our patience, we have to have understanding. Because people come as they are. We need to recognize that and maybe temper our expectations. Gain patience from the Lord so that we can be encouraging to people over time. That fellow I was frustrated with is following God and living for Him and doing well. He's just not the area anymore. Despite my lack of patience. Another point here, the willingness to both accept and convey words of scriptural challenge given in love. This is the one a lot of times we break down within community. We have to both accept and convey words of scriptural challenge. I was talking to Michael Cullen, who's a good buddy of mine in South Los Angeles, and we were both talking about it. We've been doing ministry for decades. And we both talked about the fact that as he was coaching a baseball team out in L.A., the rules governing how baseball teams are supposed to operate and coaches and all that stuff. And someone stepped out of line, not following the rules from the baseball, and he had to call the guy. And Mike Cullen's very soft, gentle character, but he had to call this fellow on the fact that he broke some rules. He wasn't living up to expectation around the baseball diamond. And Mike said that to him, and the guy said, "You know what, you're right. I'm sorry, you're late." And then he went on to say, "You know, it's too bad it's not like that in ministry among believers. Because the first thing you go, you say to somebody who's a believer, you know, you're breaking this rule, they'll go, who are you to judge me?" That sounds hilarious, but that was right off his lips, blown right off his lips. And it's often the case. But do you know that within a body of believers, it is our absolute responsibility to convey words of encouragement and challenge to one another? It's no different than if a person's walking around with a fly on, we have an obligation to point out that they have an issue. Right? And we need to be willing to listen to what other people say, if they're good or not. They can be really willing to listen to what people have to say, because sometimes people say things to us that are really helpful when they're mad at us at the time. That happens to me a lot. As I'm learning how to listen. It's hard. Have you learned that you've got to listen to me? Are you willing to convey words that you know might be difficult, but to speak into the life of someone that you love? Even though you're afraid they might get upset. The quality of love is the depth of our relationship, and part of that is our willingness to convey words of challenge and encouragement, and to receive words. If we don't have a very deep relationship, we really can't speak honestly into the lives of others. But that is what God has called us to do. He goes on in verse 2, he says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, or in so doing some have entertained angels without knowing it. And in verse 3, remember the prisoners as if you were fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if they also were suffering bodily. It's interesting because these are two examples, I believe, of what it means to live that brotherly love. These people are suffering. Okay, remember, the whole context of the book is that there's persecution going on. These Jewish believers are being persecuted. And so he's talking about entertaining others. You know, hospitality is critical. You may go, well, I don't like being hospitable. You have to understand that the scriptures command you to be hospitable. Some of you are really natural at it. Some of you are not so natural at it. But you've got to find ways to be hospitable. Why? It's a command of the Lord because hospitality demonstrates love and provides an opportunity to connect with other people, to deepen relationship. For some of you, that means ordering in because you're not a good cook. But opening the space so that there can be relational connection. For some of you, and I think this is the point also in this text, strangers here can be people that you don't know so well that you need to get to know. It's important for us to recognize that hospitality isn't just to be shown to those people that are our buddies, those close friends, but to all those around us who are followers of the side of Yeshua, who we want to deepen relationship with. These people get older, they begin to kind of shy away from making new friends. This is a statistical reality. Sociologists have talked about it. The only downside is that as the older you get, your friends start dying off. You get a little lonely. The scriptures have a solution. The solution is to show brotherly love. To lovingly reach out and connect with people, even people you don't know so well. The community provides an opportunity. As I said before, we are mishpacha. We are a family. It's a spiritual family. We connect. Not, and we connect because for the most part we're a bunch of Jews, okay? But beyond that, we connect because we're followers of the Messiah. God has brought us together. And we were talking about this the other night. Howard and Brian and I were talking about this. You guys had become believers in Yeshua, you would never know one another. But now we can connect. And there's a relationship. What God does, He brings us together for the sake of relationship. You may look at somebody and you go, that person's a bit different. But if the Spirit of God is in them, then they're your brother. Then your relative in the faith. Connect with them. And seek to connect with them deeply. And that's what we mean. He talks about the prisoners. You know, thank God we're living in an environment here where we're not being thrown in jail for our faith. But there are others who are persecuted in our world. We need to remember them. We need to pray for them. We need to look for opportunities to encourage them. This we can do through prayer. We can do this through public support. We can do this through financial help. We can also look for individuals who may not be prisoners because of their faith, but they're prisoners because of circumstances. And then Kyle, you know, who's floating around in a boat in the U.S. Navy. I mean, he's stuck over there. He's supposed to come home, and I doubt it, because the last I heard, he was sent to the Arabian Peninsula, ministry in Israel. She's all by herself on that. She's all by herself. A lot of believers in Israel, she's good. But to remember her, it's a different twist of what we've talked about here. But you can pray for her, as Rich Brindorf mentioned. You know, they're listed here on this document. Individual we pray for. Stephen Arnold, who was all, who called Stephen's at any particular time, but between North Carolina and Brazil and Nepal, or wherever he's at. To remember these individuals and to pray for them. To pray for their spiritual strengthening, for their physical protection. There's a quote. This quote actually is, I think, from Francis Schaeffer. It says, "When love prevails among believers, especially in times of strong disagreement, it presents to the world an indisputable mark of a true follower of the Son of Yeshua." A lot of things that, at times, lead us to break fellowship with one another, usually never things that are important, petty stuff. If we truly have authentic relational connections with one another, we truly love one another at a deep level, we prioritize our relationships with one another in the Lord, that will help us overcome all kinds of points of disagreement. Demonstrating our love for fellow believers validates the confession of our faith. So how do you show genuine concern for the welfare of other believers? Do you ever call anybody during your week just to encourage them? Are there people that you intentionally reach out to encourage in their relationship with God during the week? Do you have any unresolved conflict with another believer, which is within your power to resolve? That's important. There are people, believers, that continue to have disagreements with people, grudges that they hold. We can't do that. It's inconsistent with Yeshua's faith. We need to make those right, even if that means we have to do an awful lot of confessing of sin and apologizing. Are you willing to humbly confront in love a fellow believer regarding their sin? A lot of times, it's funny, I'm talking to somebody about this. A lot of times in our message of church, we just accept a lot of dysfunction and sin. Anger, there's all kinds of crazy things. We have to recognize that we're all human. But we need to make sure that who we are and what we're trying to accomplish for God is godly. That we don't allow sinfulness in the worst kinds of sinfulness, which is gossip. Which sins related to speaking about one another in ways that are negative. Huge problem in the movement. Goes back generations. Let it be our determination as a community that we demonstrate love toward one another, that we seek deep relationships with one another, that we're willing to convey truth, even if it might make the other uncomfortable, but we do it in love. Then we accept the challenge, the criticism of others, if it's for our spiritual good. Let's close with one prayer. God, we thank you for the fact that you do bring us into this community with your intention, Heavenly God. You have brought us together. You made all this possible. God, I pray that we would learn from one another, that we would accept the fact that in many ways we are only half people without another. And we need one another deeply, Lord, in order to truly be all that you want us to be as individuals before you. Help us, God, to be a loving community.